How is it that the sunlight gives us such joy? Why does this radiance, when it falls on the earth, fill us with the joy of living? The whole sky is blue, the fields are green, the houses all white, and our enchanted eyes drink in those bright colors which bring delight to our souls. And then there springs up in our hearts a desire to dance, to run, to sing, a happy lightness of thought, a sort of enlarged tenderness. We feel a longing to embrace the sun. The blind, as they sit in the doorways, impassive in their eternal darkness, remain as calm as ever in the midst of this fresh gaiety, and not understanding what is taking place around them, they continually check their dogs as they attempt to play. When at the close of the day they are returning home on the arm of a young brother or a little sister, if the child says, "It was a very fine day," the other answers, "I could notice that it was fine. Lulu wouldn't keep quiet." I knew one of these men, whose life was one of the most cruel martyrdoms that could possibly be conceived. He was a peasant, the son of a Norman farmer. As long as his father and mother lived, he was more or less taken care of. He suffered little save from his horrible infirmity. But as soon as the old people were gone, an atrocious life of misery commenced for him. Dependent on a sister of his, everybody in the farmhouse treated him as a beggar who was eating the bread of strangers. At every meal, the very food he swallowed was made a subject of reproach against him. He was called a drone, a clown, and although his brother-in-law had taken possession of his portion of the inheritance, he was helped grudgingly to soup, getting just enough to save him from starving. His face was very pale, and his two big white eyes looked like wafers. He remained unmoved at all the insults hurled at him, so reserved that one could not tell whether he felt them. Moreover, he had never known any tenderness, his mother having always treated him unkindly and caring very little for him. For in country places, useless persons are considered a nuisance, and the peasants would be glad to kill the infirm of their species, as poultry do. As soon as he finished his soup, he went and sat outside the door in summer, and in winter beside the fireside, and did not stir again all the evening. He made no gesture, no movement. Only his eyelids, quivering from some nervous affection, fell down sometimes over his white, sightless orbs. Had he any intellect, any thinking faculty, any consciousness of his own existence? Nobody cared to inquire. For some years things went on in this fashion. But his incapacity for work, as well as his impassiveness, eventually exasperated his relatives, and he became a laughing-stock, a sort of butt for merriment, a prey to the inborn ferocity, to the savage gaiety of the brutes who surrounded him. It is easy to imagine all the cruel practical jokes inspired by his blindness. And in order to have some fun in return for feeding him, they now converted his meals into hours of pleasure for the neighbors and of punishment for the helpless creature himself. The peasants from the nearest houses came to this entertainment. It was talked about from door to door, and every day the kitchen of the farmhouse was full of people. Sometimes they placed before his plate, when he was beginning to eat his soup, some cat or dog. The animal instinctively perceived the man's infirmity, and softly approaching, commenced eating noiselessly, lapping up the soup daintily. And when they lapped the food rather noisily, rousing the poor fellow's attention, they would prudently scamper away to avoid the blow of the spoon directed at random by the blind man. Then the spectators ranged along the wall would burst out laughing, nudge each other, and stamp their feet on the floor, and he, without ever uttering a word, would continue eating with his right hand while stretching out his left to protect his plate. Another time they made him chew corks, bits of wood, leaves, or even filth, which he was unable to distinguish. After this they got tired even of these practical jokes, and the brother-in-law, angry at having to support him always, struck him, cuffed him incessantly, laughing at his futile efforts to ward off or return the blows. Then came a new pleasure, the pleasure of smacking his face. And the ploughmen, the servant girls, and even every passing vagabond were every moment giving him cuffs, which caused his eyelashes to twitch spasmodically. He did not know where to hide himself, and remained with his arms always held out to guard against people coming too close to him. At last he was forced to beg. He was placed somewhere on the high road on market days, and as soon as he heard the sound of footsteps or the rolling of a vehicle, he reached out his hat, stammering,
"Charity, if you please."
But the peasant is not lavish, and for whole weeks he did not bring back a sou. Then he became the victim of furious, pitiless hatred, and this is how he died.